Hi again. Wasn't that a wonderful time of worship? Thank you to Thomas and Daniel and Naomi for leading us in that time. And just seeing them in the auditorium, it builds an anticipation for our lifting of lockdown on the 6th of September and our corporate celebration that I'm really looking forward to. Whoop, whoop. I was going to click my heels, but having put out my back, I'm walking, I'm not quite yet leaping, but I'm choosing to praise the Lord. And can I open in a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you this morning. You're the reason that we hear, or the reason that we gather and we come under your word or around your word. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, brings life. You speak the word, you heal our disease, any afflictions, any infirmities. And Lord, we want to stand on those promises even this morning. Your power made perfect in weakness, in frailty. And so Lord, I commit this morning to you, and I really pray for a revelation, a spirit of revelation, that we might know you better and that we might love you more. And I pray this in the precious and wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Well, have you read the world's bestseller? And of all time, and all for all ages, and pretty much for every language. You see, children's songs have a way of emphasizing the truth and the essentials. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I thank God for a childhood spent in children's church where biblical values were instilled into me. And I just want to say thank you to every children's church worker, because I was a life that was changed, and I'm sure there are many other lives that have been changed. And so we heard last week that the Bible itself claims to be the inspired word of God, all scripture God breathed, men spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible has always been the ultimate rule of faith and the practice for the true church. And so we see its remarkable unity and its coherence confirms its authenticity. All 66 books fit together as one book with one theme, Jesus Christ. That scarlet thread that runs right through Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And you see, the message exploded in the New Testament times to turn the known world upside down. And that power of the gospel is still changing lives. And some time back, Paul Lawrence lent me a book entitled The Book That Changed Your World. It was written by an Indian philosopher, Vishal Mangalwadi. And sometimes it takes somebody from an outside Western culture to highlight how radical and how revolutionary the Bible is. And so he writes in his book, and he describes how biblical precepts became the framework for Western societal structure throughout the whole of the last millennium. From politics to science to academia to technology, it became the key that unlocked the Western mind. And the Bible triggered the West's passion for scientific, medical, technological advancement. And it brought about a notion of human dignity in Western social structure, created a fertile ground for women to find social and even economic empowerment, and uniquely it equipped the West to cultivate compassion, human rights, prosperity, and strong families, and it provided a massive role in transforming education. It even shaped the modern literary notion of a hero. And so all those advancements that transformed and sustained Western culture and civilization in the past 1,000 years, he says, are being undermined by secular humanistic thought and a departure from the biblical precepts. And so a friend, Nick Harding, he wrote a book, The Bible, Why We Believe It. And in it, he had the following to say. And he said, since the sexual revolution of the 1960s, secular society has been systematically changing or challenging and undermining biblical Christian moral foundations, of our societal mores and our values, our laws even. And these are just some of the areas under attack in our lawmaking and in our social mores. The sanctity of life that's been undermined by abortion, by embryo experimentation, creeping euthanasia. Secondly, the heterosexual basis for marriage. Thirdly, marriage as the right context for sexual intimacy. Fourthly, one partner for life, as opposed to easier and easier divorce, and an expectation that marriages would fail. Partners would simply live together. Serial monogamy, it's now the norm, the accepted thing, moving from one partner to the next. And the entertainment industry has fostered that and fueled that. You see, there's even the institutional or the extreme emphasis on human rights or individual rights. And these are just some of the departure points from the Bible. And to quote Johnny Dale, as the world becomes more civilized, it becomes more hostile to God's values. Nevertheless, many of these laws are based on clear biblical principles. And most of them were pioneered by Christian activists of the day. Think of, for example, William Wilberforce for the abolition of slavery. If you think about the industrial reform by Shaftesbury, amongst others. And then you've got media and education. At best, they see the Bible as out of touch, and at worst, bigoted, divisive, misogynistic, anti-woman, homophobic, arrogant, exclusive. But you see, anyone who holds to the Bible as the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, is seen as a radical, as a fundamentalist. That was a label left for other religions. But really, how confident are we in our belief of the Bible? Can we, along with Martin Luther, over 500 years ago, when placed in a life-threatening trial for being seen as a heretic, for holding to biblical truth as the highest standard above the traditions of men or church, he said, "I cannot, I will not recant. Here I stand, I can do no other." Could we, in the same way, make such a stand? Let's rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. You see, the Bible contains God's cosmic rescue plan and everything we need for life and everything we need for godliness. It's both the rock, as we heard last week and this week, the roadmap, the navigational chart for safe passage. You see, without the Bible, we're like a ship without a rudder, or we're like a ship's captain without a compass. Imagine setting off on a round the world trip without either. We would either be shipwrecked or we would be simply lost at sea. We've got to be building on the solid foundation of God's word. And without that foundation, we can find ourselves just drifting with the flow of popular culture. And we get blown off course by weird winds of doctrine and emphasis, and we accept less than God's best. And that's why Paul exhorted Timothy to watch his life and his doctrine closely and to persevere in them, because he had saved himself both save himself and his hearers. And without that solid rock, and you've heard me say it and I'll say it again, without the solid rock on which we stand, all else is sinking sand. The bedrock of the Bible reveals the nature of God, the will of God, and our relationship to God. And so the Bible, as God's word, is written to be obeyed, to be used as the rule of life. It's the final arbiter in the matters of what we believe and how we should live. How then should we live? We can accept the same spirit that inspired it to speak through it to us today. If we love and cherish God's word, it will guard us from shipwrecking our faith and even our lives. And it will lead us into life, freedom, fulfillment. And in Deuteronomy 28 verse 2, it says this in the Bible, "You will experience all of God's blessings if you obey the Lord." God says You will not believe what I will pour out in your life if you will live responsibly with your time, with your money, with your relationships, in every area of your life. I'll bless you in ways you cannot imagine. You see, the Bible is both the rock and the roadmap for life. And he has a prophetic promise of increase from Isaiah 54, verse 2 to 3. And it's for us, for you, an inspired hope of a preferable future. You see, friends, it's going to take faith, and a faith that's going to come from hearing the word of God. And not just hearing it, obeying it. A faith that moves us from surviving to thriving. Enlarge, this is how it reads, Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. And your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. See here, God promises enlargement. He promises growth. He promises fruitfulness. God wants us to make room in our hearts, make room in our homes, make room in our service and our hospitality. Friends, are you willing to be stretched like that tent? Are you willing to be enlarged, to make room? And that's going to require a front-footedness, a taking initiative, a seeing a longer reach, a greater influence. Stronger cords of loving kindness, strengthened stakes of what? What are those stakes? They're biblical truth and values. And those strengthened stakes speak to me of foundations that we hold fast to. What do we value? What do you value? You see, values are our treasure, the things we stand for, the things we hold dear and we would not want to lose. Build your life on values that will last. They are essential building blocks. Our values are born out of our convictions about who God is and the kind of world he would want us to live in. And friends, that's why we've got to get to know him more and more and understand his ways better. And that happens as we value and obey God's unchanging, infallible, authoritative, absolute, inspired word. And according to Jesus, the Bible is truth. And those same scriptures testify about Jesus. And D.L. Moody, he said the following. And he said, I prayed for faith and I thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not come. One day I was reading the 10th chapter of Romans. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He said, I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. And now I opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. Don't you love that? Therefore, our faith is rooted in the Word of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. We don't understand in order to believe. We believe in order to understand. And before I was born again, before I was spiritually made alive, the Bible was very difficult for me to understand or read. It was like a bit of a history book, and I really found it difficult. It was almost like I had cataracts or scales over my eyes and even my understanding. And what Paul wrote to the Corinthians was true for me. And this is what Paul wrote. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In the case of the God, that's God with a small g, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. Thank goodness in hearing the gospel, I believed that I was hearing the truth and I responded in faith and repentance. It was like this huge weight just lifted off of me when I put my trust in Jesus. I was made spiritually alive, and the Bible really spoke to me. It became a living word. Even one of my first Bibles was the Living Bible. And as I said last week, Jesus and facing the enemy, the God, small g again, of this world, he answered the enemy, he answered Satan. He said, it is written, and he quoted, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. And the Bible is the only book ever written that gives satisfactory answers to life's ultimate questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? And friends, in these questions of life, we've got to turn to the manufacturer's manual, Handbook for Life. Our lives and our value system must be radically word-based. The Bible plus nothing, the Bible minus nothing. And one preacher's interpreter got it all wrong. He said the Bible more or less. And it's not more or less. The thing is, we don't have the freedom to pick and choose. What the Bible says, it means. And what it means, it says. Ten Commandments are not the 10 suggestions. Being radically word-based means the whole counsel of God, not adding or subtracting from. Truth above tradition. Truth above popular culture. Truth above peer pressure. Truth above whatever's expediently, politically. And these core values, they never change. They're kingdom values of Christ the King. They are key convictions and inner beliefs, not blown this way and that with every changing wind. They're the high ground that we hold tightly to, that we live and we die for if necessary. Non-negotiables that we contend for. Friends, is this what you're living for? Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? I'm preaching to myself here. You see, Jesus showed us what it was like, what the Father was like, so we should know how to live. And his manifesto, or his mission statement, was he came to seek and save the lost, to win the lost at any cost, because people lost forever. Just as people were destined to die once and after that face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he'll appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Hebrews 9, 27, 28 tells us, are you ready? Are you saved? Our values are tied to our vision. Knowing Jesus and making him known. Loving God, loving people, and we're going to make disciples of all nations. And friends, as his people, we've got to see the invisible to do the impossible. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's not like we're on the back foot. It's like we're an advancing people, plundering hell to populate heaven. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he's made us more than conquerors, overcomers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, this is not a time to shrink back. Hebrews 10 verse 38 to 39. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I'll take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. In this roadmap of life, how do we hold the line? How do we stay spiritually sure-footed? How do we never stumble? Firstly, how do we hold the line? Friends, how do we hold the line? First and foremost, I'm going to just share a few quick, fairly familiar verses that come to mind. The Psalms. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Also from Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then Isaiah 30, 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, perhaps the most challenging on that flies in the face of popular culture. Jeremiah 6 verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. What are those ancient paths? Friends, they're simply biblical beliefs, biblical paths and principles of life that cause life to function. They're timeless. They have prescribed patterns. They're paths that affect relationships, marriage, parenting, finances, amongst other areas. And if we violate them, we cause ourselves and other people around us a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain in the world today. And then secondly, in this roadmap of life, how do we stay spiritually sure-footed? Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. There's power in praise. Paul and Silas in the jail, in that inner stocks and the midnight hour, and they chose to praise God. And what an earthquake, what a profound in adversity. They stayed positive and they saw great deliverance and victory. Job, when he lost his health and he lost his wealth and his family and his friends even turned against him, and he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Another children's song based on scripture. And that was from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. And then the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer and enables me to tread on the heights. That's in extreme circumstances and difficult places. And then thirdly, in this roadmap of life, how do we not stumble? Friends, don't dial out. This is worth meditating on, and I'm wrapping up with this. Worth underlining, highlighting. It's from 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do we not stumble? Hold to his great and precious promises. His promises are unbreakable. Therefore, our hope is unshakable. Remember, you're born again to a living hope. Set your sights and your sails on eternity, from surviving to thriving. The Bible, both a rock and a roadmap. And I'd like to conclude and highlight this powerful prayer of Paul's for the Colossians. And let it be our prayer this morning. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge, the knowing of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, being fully pleasing in him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you're looking for answers to life's ultimate questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the purpose of life? John Stott, in his book Basic Christianity, I recommend it highly. He gives the following prayer that I believe God loves to answer. God, God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, and if you hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I am an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if Jesus is your Son and the Savior of the world. And if you bring conviction to my mind, I will trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, this morning. Help us to go on in you, Lord. Help us to know you better, to love you more. God, help us to not to be conformed to this age, but to be transformed with the renewing of our mind, that we may test and approve that which is good, pleasing, and perfect in your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are your handiwork, created in advance for you to do good works, your workmanship that you've prepared in advance for us to do. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk into that now. And we just commit this to you and thank you for the treasure of your word. Thank you for the love letter that the Bible is to us. Thank you that we can cherish that word and hold it dear and keep it in our hearts, that it may keep us on this roadmap, on this way, this pathway of life, and keep us safe and bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen.